Well, this morning we move from Portugal to Switzerland. What sort of country is Switzerland? Any basic facts about Switzerland, Stanley? A lot of the Alps are there. Anything else, Molly? It's snowy. It sure is that on the high ground too. Well, we go to a city in Switzerland called Geneva. Geneva. What is Geneva alongside? Testing your geography here today. What does Geneva have? Molly? A lake. You're right. It has a lake. Lake Geneva. And there, back in the 1800s, we're talking 1820s, the 1830s, there was a young man by the name of Henri Dunant. And he was growing up in Geneva. And he was from a very wealthy family. His father was a local councillor, owned land. So they're very rich. And they were very much the people there, well regarded in society, very important, very special people. But they used to go Sunday by Sunday to hear the preaching of God's word. And there was a preacher by the name of Louis Gaussin, and he would preach the gospel. And Henri Dunant would sit, as we are sitting this morning. He heard it, and it had a profound effect upon him. And he wrestled. What does this mean? What's the meaning of life? And eventually, the Lord spoke to him, and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, he was a remarkably energetic and zealous young man. And he soon began to work very, very hard for the Lord. So on Sundays, he would go into the prison, visit people there, and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how God had changed his life, and therefore how God could change their lives as well. So the prisoners heard of him. And then he organized young people, and he used to take them off on rambles over the hills and mountains, I guess he'd take them, and he'd tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then afterwards, they'd have a meeting in his father's house there, and there in those places, he would talk further about the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, his work became really the beginning of the YMCA in Europe, Young Men's Christian Association. You see their places around and about. But anyway, he was very much the man there in Switzerland, and really his work began the YMCA there, and it spread to the rest of Europe. It had already begun, hadn't it, across these parts? But there it is. What an energetic young man. Well then, destined for great things. And the bank spotted him. They thought, this is a man here. He's got vision. He's got drive. He can organize things here. So they appointed him one of their men. And then, because there are lots of banks, aren't there, in Switzerland, they were expanding overseas. That was the time when North Africa was beginning to become a place to put money and to invest in things and to expect to get a good return on your money. So they sent this young Henri Dunant over there to North Africa, get things moving there, and he certainly did. They started investing in mines and plantations and factories and things, and money was coming in through that way, so the bank was very impressed with him. They weren't so impressed with what he also did, which was to think, quite good at this sort of stuff. I'm going to take some money myself. Not from the bank, I don't think, but he got some money and started investing it in his own kind of property and lands and things, and he began to buy up factories. And the bank didn't like this, and they said, well, you're fired. You're off. We don't do that. You work for us. You don't work for yourself. Give your thoughts and attention to making us money, not making money for yourself. He wasn't too disappointed at that, because this was really, really working well for him. There's money coming in, and he was buying up more factories and building things, because all this was expanding. France, by then, was a sort of colonial power in Algeria, one of the North African countries you might have heard of, and they were building things there and wanting things to happen. So he was right in on that, and he was buying up land, and he thought, well, what shall I do here? I want to really grow big. So, who's he forgotten, by the way, in all of this? Who's he forgotten here? Who's sort of disappeared from his view, Grace? God. God has disappeared. He's thinking about me. And he's thinking about money. And he's thinking about been quite important, actually. And so all of this is filling his head. God is disappearing. The gospel and all the service that he gave to the Lord when he was a young man, zealous for the Lord. This is going, going, going. Well, he thought, now if I was able to buy up lots of this land around here, I could build some factories, and I could open some mines, and I could plant some crops here. I could start some plantations, and we could have some homes built. But I need some money to do this. So what he did was this. He got in touch with some very wealthy people. And they said, the prospects in Algeria are amazing. If you give me some money, I promise you, you will get a huge return on that money in a year or so's time. Just pass that money on to me. I'm going to build all these things, get these factories set up, get these plantations growing, get these homes all built. The money that you will get will be amazing. So it can't lose with this one. And quite a few wealthy people thought, you're right, we can't. So they gave him a lot of money. And into these plantations, he put them and settling homes there and building factories there. And it was all standing there. Ah, but there was one vital thing missing to drive his mills and to make his plantations flourish. One vital thing was missing. What's that? What did he need to make all this work? Something very basic, actually. Molly? Water. He needed to get, from the local government in Algeria, which was run by the French, permit to be able to get water, to divert channels and to be able to make wells and things like that. To do all of that, you needed a permit. So then you could drive your factory, mills, and you could make your plants grow. And he thought, no trouble. No trouble, this. Just a little while, it'll all happen. Well, it didn't. And it dragged on. And it dragged on. And he was having to pay all this money to these financiers. I don't know where he found it from, but anyway, somewhere he was paying them this money because he promised them a huge rate of return. And he was sort of badgering the local council. Where are you going to give me the permit to do this, please? Oh, well, local council sometimes do. We'll get back to you on that one. We'll get back to you. And it just dragged on. Well, he was a man who knew some important people. And there was somebody in France who he knew. And this man was very close to Napoleon III. So we'll get Napoleon III, who's running France there. If he tells the Algerian local authority, give that man his water permit, no problem, it will happen like that. So he thinks, I'll go and find him. Off he goes over the Mediterranean Sea to Europe. Problem, problem. France, by then, has teamed up with Italy. And they are now fighting the Austrian Empire. Because the Austrian Empire sort of interfered a bit with Italy. And thought, well, then we had enough of this. We're going to move the Austrians out. So Napoleon now was in a full-scale war against Austria. They're fighting a big battle in Italy because he's on the Italian side and the Italians are with him. And they're fighting now against the Austrians. And so Henri Dunant, where's Napoleon? Well, he's over here near a place called Solferino in Italy. He's about to fight a battle. Right, okay. Well, I'll just need a moment of his time and I'm sure he'll be able to help me with what I need. And so he looks for him. But by now, the battle has already started. So Napoleon's mind is somewhere else and he can't get to see him. There are hundreds and thousands of troops. 150,000 Austrian troops, and they're up on a hill. 140,000 French troops, Italian troops, and they're at the bottom of the hill. Who's got the advantage there, Timothy?
The Austrian troops,
right. They've actually got more cannon. I think they had 500 cannons, and the French had 400 cannons. So, you know, the advantage is there with the Austrians. Well, my word, it was a battle it was. And it was foot soldiers, first of all, went crashing into each other. Oh, dear. Loss of life was huge. And then the cavalry came in. What did the cavalry ride on there? James, got an idea on that one? What did the cavalry come in on? I think your mum's right, actually. Well, Grace, do tell me. Horses, thank you. So in go the cavalry, and they trample over everybody. There's more swords and fighting and muskets shooting. And then the cannons start blasting at each other. Oh, and it looks as if the Austrians, with the advantage of the height, are able to win this battle. They seem to be winning. But then there's a thunderstorm, and that changes everything. Everything is in confusion, and the French push forward. They take the town of Solferino. The Austrians now are in retreat. But Henri Dunant is absolutely appalled. The life, all this loss of life, and all the wounded people on the battlefield, just lying there, about 40,000 wounded men on both sides. Huge numbers. And nothing's being done for them. So he's a bit of an organiser, isn't he? He's got a bit of energy and drive. So he starts sorting out, right, we've got to do something for these people. And all the local people are sort of standing there thinking, don't know what to do, don't know what to do. So, right, this is what we're going to do. We'll get these people into some of the villages, and we'll give them water, we'll find some food for them, and we'll deal with all their wounds. So he begins to organise everybody. And then some doctors arrive eventually, and they begin to be able to help these people properly. But this really began to prey on Henri Dunant's mind. Okay, he's still looking for Napoleon III, who's moved off by then, so he has to go trailing off after him to try to sort of see him and respectfully ask for this water permit to be given to him in Algeria. But this other matter is really now just consuming him. What can we do for these people? People in battles like this. And the idea begins to come to him that we need an organisation that will be able to go on the battlefield, rescue wounded people like this and look after them, an organisation that's neutral. In other words, it's not seen as being on their side or their side, but they're just doing a job there of kindness and charity and mercy, and they will not be shot at by anybody, and they could do this work. Thought that would be so helpful. Well, he knows people. He begins to get in touch with different people here and heads of state and kings, and he begins to call them all together, and they agree. We ought to do something about this. You're right. We ought to do something about this. And eventually an organisation comes out of this. Do you know what organisation that it is, Stanley? The Red Cross. The Red Cross. Red Cross. And also, they draw up some plans there, what to do in battles, so as to look after people that are wounded and not to sort of treat them badly. We call that the Geneva Convention, right? The Geneva Convention. So that even if they're enemy troops, well, you treat them decently. And if they're prisoners of war, you treat them decently. So all of this eventually came out of all of this. So there is Henri Dunant. He's organising. This is all happening really quickly. And he's man of action, you see. Who's he forgotten in all of this? Stanley. He's forgotten God. He's nowhere there in his thinking. Ah, but what has he not forgotten in all of this? What's he not forgotten?
Timothy.
Himself.
Himself, and particularly Grace, his water permits. He's not forgotten those. So he's still trying to find Napoleon III. And well, it doesn't quite work like that, but he learns that Napoleon is going to visit Algeria. He hotfoots it back to Algeria, and there's going to be a sort of presentation of dignitaries. Napoleon is going to meet some of the important people. So he gets himself on the list of those to be there, having an audience with Napoleon. A great man comes, and of course he says, "Oh, Your Highness, I'm having great trouble, my water permit's here, and I need help with this." "No trouble," says Napoleon III. "I'll sort it out for you." We're going to leave it there and see just what does happen with Henri Dunant's plans. But isn't it tragic that in all of this, he seems to have forgotten God? He's relying on Napoleon III, but he's not praying. He's not thinking about, can God help me in this situation? And we'll see next week, God willing, what actually happens to Henri Dunant. Let's sing our next hymn, though. Now, let's sing our next hymn. It's number 147. "O Thou, My Soul, Forget No More," which is rather appropriate, isn't it?